Just 1 week ago, the death of ISIS leader al-Baghdadi was announced, and most cheered the news as being a large success against the most lethal terrorist organization. Notice that I said most. There were many on the left, in politics and the news media, who apparently had a problem of one kind or another with this event. Those people spent this past week deluding and even denying the impact of this action. With us now to review all of this is the director of Jihad Watch, a Shulman Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and New York Times bestselling author whose next book, The Palestinian Delusion, The Catastrophic History of the Middle East Peace Process, which is set for early December release. Robert Spencer, how are you today, sir?
Just great. How are you?
Great to have you here. JihadWatch.org on Twitter, at JihadWatchRS, to follow along with the focus of Mr. Spencer, his work, and the reality that he presents. So was it any surprise that from the get-go on Sunday morning when the announcement came in that the left was going to turn a thumbs down and a nose up at everything that happened?
No surprise at all. They hate Trump. And so if Trump took out al-Baghdadi, then they must love al-Baghdadi. Excuse me. If Obama had taken out al-Baghdadi, then he would be being hailed as a great warrior against the global jihad terror. But, excuse me, when it comes to Trump, they hate him so much that not only do they write admiringly of al-Baghdadi, but they contradict themselves. Because notice that the Washington Post, for example, and the most notorious example, called al-Baghdadi an austere religious scholar, yeah, which he certainly was. He was an expert on Islam. He had a PhD in Islamic studies. But he was also a mass murderer and rapist and all these other things. And the funny thing about that was, the odd thing, is that for years the Washington Post has insisted that ISIS has nothing to do with Islam. So how could this guy be a scholar of Islam? But they hate Trump so much they forget about being consistent in their narrative.
In the New York Times, they refer to Baghdadi, continue to, I believe, as Mr. Baghdadi.
Yes.
And speaking of the Washington Post, Max Boot had initially in his column the argument that Baghdadi didn't die as a coward because he blew himself up.
Yeah, Max Boot is another hater of Trump, and so he was in the peculiar position that if Trump said Baghdadi was a coward, then he had to say that he wasn't. And so he's on the networks defending the courage of this mass murderer. And this just shows that the left hates Trump, hates America more than it is happy about victories for our country.
And there was a trickle down, too, through to the special forces who did the heroics in this mission, too, because on 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern last Sunday, I just did a little circle around the Twitter world, Schumer, Pelosi, Biden, Warren, Sanders, the squad. At that point, that was about 2 hours after Trump's speech, no mention, zero mention, not even praise for the U.S. forces. Never mind, I wasn't certainly expecting to see anything praising the president, but not even a praise for the mission and the work of the U.S. Special Forces by any of the top Democrats at that point.
Right. Remember that if any of the Democrats become president, then the special forces themselves might be a thing of the past. And certainly the military budget will be drastically cut. I'm in favor of ending some of these endless wars that have no goal and have no purpose. Our troops are in Afghanistan still. It's ridiculous. It's just a drain on our resources. And there are better ways to prevent jihad training from going on in Afghanistan, which was why we went in there in the first place so many years ago. And yet, at the same time, we have to understand that we're in a dangerous world where we're going to have to defend ourselves. The Democrats would make that impossible, and they've never shown any appreciation for those who are defending us now.
Is this a symbolic hit, as some on the left are making out to be? Because I'm thinking back to when bin Laden, well, even before he was taken out, when he was basically isolated, it left al-Qaeda as a rudderless ship and kind of diffused themselves. Can we expect to see the same with ISIS now, that they're some symbolic leader to a degree, but not to the degree that bin Laden was with al-Qaeda? But is ISIS now a rudderless ship which could cave in on itself?
There's no doubt that it's weakened, and a weakened entity could indeed disappear. I think, unfortunately, that it's, as you noted, even less of a movement that was built around a charismatic leader than Al-Qaeda was. ISIS is very much an ideologically driven movement. They believe, they claim themselves to be the caliphate, the only legitimate global government for Muslims. And consequently, on that basis, they have chosen a new caliph already. They are determined to go on. At the same time, they've suffered two major blows now. The loss of their caliphate and the loss of their caliph, that is, the loss of their massive territory, which at its heyday, we should remember, was larger than the size of Great Britain. They've lost that, and now they've lost their leader. There's no doubt that these are two massive blows to the organization, and I wouldn't be in the least surprised if it splinters now or starts to fade away as Al-Qaeda has.
Which that splinter is what we saw back when Al-Qaeda splintered after the loss of bin Laden, which ironically gave birth to ISIS.
Yeah, ISIS actually started out as Al-Qaeda in Iraq. You're absolutely right. And you may recall Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, who was the leader of Al-Qaeda in Iraq and was a very notorious figure in the global jihad and in the Islamic world in particular. And Zarqawi was taken out himself in a raid by American forces in 2006. But Zarqawi had a big disagreement with Osama bin Laden before he died, and that was before Zarqawi died, and that was over whether it was the right time to start a caliphate in Iraq and Syria. They both agreed that it should be done, but bin Laden thought it wasn't the right time and that it would be taken out by the Americans. Now, Obama was about to prove bin Laden wrong, but then Trump came in and proved him right, destroyed their caliphate, and this is a big blow to the credibility of the whole ISIS enterprise because it was based on, its split from Al-Qaeda was based on the idea that a caliphate could survive in Iraq and Syria now, and Trump has showed that to be wrong.
Talking with Robert Spencer, who's the director of Jihad Watch. He's a Shulman Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, a New York Times bestselling author. His next book, set for an early December release, The Palestinian Delusion, The Catastrophic History of the Middle East Peace Process, jihadwatch.org, and on Twitter at jihadwatchrs. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. How has all this been viewed and taken as far as the Middle East and the Muslim world has been concerned?
There's been very little comment. Of course, they're in the same position as the establishment media. The establishment media hates Trump and wants to make al-Baghdadi out to be some sort of a martyr. That's their perspective. But the Islamic world, in the same way, they have been claiming that they're against ISIS and they're not in favor of the global jihad. And so they can't come out and say this is a terrible thing that Trump has done, but they also can't come out and say that it's a wonderful thing, which many of their people no doubt believe.
Yes, the one mystery that we all still want to figure out is how did al-Baghdadi get to where he was? Was it going through Syria or was it going through our friends in Turkey?
Well, here you go. This is the very important question. When you ask about how the Islamic world has reacted, Erdogan is a prime example. He can't say anything because if he says it's great, then he's betraying a lot of the people, seen as betraying a lot of his own people who supported ISIS. And if he says it's terrible, then he reveals that he supports ISIS, which he has done. For years, he allowed ISIS fighters to cross into Turkey, into the ISIS domains from Turkey. And he bought ISIS oil, which kept the terror movement afloat. And now we know that al-Baghdadi was hiding out just a few miles across the border from Turkey. It seems to me to be inconceivable, especially at a time when Turkey is launching cross-border military operations itself. It's just absolutely beyond the realm of possibility that they could not have known he was there. And so we have another situation of a sham alliance, like with Pakistan protecting bin Laden. They're claiming to be friends of the United States, allies of the United States, meanwhile aiding the global jihad against the United States.
Mention your next book, The Palestinian Delusion, The Catastrophic History of the Middle East Peace Process, which is set for an early December release, but you can pre-order it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and elsewhere. Given the lack of anything solid with the leadership in Israel right now, probably another election before anything else is going to happen to solidify who's going to actually be leading Israel. What is that going to do for the Palestinians as far as what do they see that as an open door to rise up and go back to their old ways instead of trying to mask themselves as someone who a group who wants a homeland?
Yeah, that operation is already well underway. And we see it in the genocidal, the calls for genocide on Palestinian Authority television, which are alarmingly frequent. We see it in the ongoing disturbances at the Gaza border, where there are incendiary materials being sent into Israel that have burned quite a lot of Israeli farmland. All these things are being done by an entity that then proclaims that it wants peace. And what we really have is an entity that knows that there's nothing it can do that will lose it the support of the American left. And so what we really need to do is have a little bit of accountability for the Palestinians. And that's where Trump has been brilliant yet again in cutting aid for the Palestinians and saying that it's clear that they don't have any interest in peace. When every other administration for decades has insisted that all is well with the Palestinians and that they are that they're an oppressed people who needs American aid while they're engaging in this incitement and low-level warfare against Israel.
That's more of what you read about in Robert's next book coming out in early December, The Palestinian Delusion, The Catastrophic History of the Middle East Peace Process. He is, along with being the director of Jihad Watch, a show and fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, jihadwatch.org, on Twitter, at Jihad Watch RS. Robert Spencer, thanks so much for your insight today.
A pleasure. Thank you.